An IEEE slide tape lecture. Mr. Alfred Seck of Central Lab Semiconductor Operations, El Monte, California, presents a survey of photosensitive materials and devices.
This survey of photosensitive materials and devices for this discussion will be limited to spectral area from 200 nanometers to 1200 nanometers. The photosensors which have a sensitivity in this spectral area are silicon devices. Among the silicon devices, we have photovoltaic, photodiodes, phototransistors, selenium cells, cadmium sulfide, and cadmium selenide cells, and also some photoemissive tubes having photoemissive cathodes. The next slide, we see the radiant energy spectral distribution for various light sources as it compared to standard observer relative response, which is over here. The one curve is for sunlight. The other curve here, which is hardly one can see, is the daylight fluorescent. And then we have three curves for tungsten light source at different color temperatures. The standard observer curve is a defining factor in a photometric system, which I will discuss it a little bit later. Here we see the comparison between the standard observer curve and typical selenium cell and also silicon cells. Here we see that the silicon cell has a very wide spectral bandwidth and therefore is very advantageous device in radiometric applications. The radiometric versus photometric units. The response of a photosensor to a radiation source is dependent upon the spectral response of the device and spectral distribution of the energy of given light source. Mathematically, it could be expressed as the total energy of the sensor, which is equal to what the sensor sees, equal to integral of the product of total radiant flux times relative response of the sensor. The photometric system is defined in terms of radiant energy visual effect upon the observer. The mathematical expression is similar to that of radiometric system, except here we use constant K, which I'm not going to go into details how it is derived. Next is photosensitive phenomena. In changing radiant energy into electrical energy, photosensors exhibit four operational modes. One is the photovoltaic, the second one is phototransistor, then the third one photoconductive, and the fourth one is the photoemissive. The photovoltaic mode, the incident radiation directly converted into electrical power, where in using phototransistor, it controls the current flow with incident radiation as a result of photo effect in semiconductors. The photoconductive mode, the resistance of the device is reduced in inverse proportion to the amount of the incident radiation striking the surface of the device. The photoemissive mode, a cathode of a phototube which is manufactured out of various mixtures of alkali earth oxides, emits electrons when exposed to the light. Here we have an operational amplifier. I would like to point out that many of the silicon devices, especially the silicon cell, silicon photo cell, due to its linearity at the short circuit current, and also photodiode due to the low leakage at very high voltages, provide linear response, and it's very well suited for operational amplifier application. Here we have a phototransistor equivalent circuit. The phototransistor equivalent circuit is actually derived from a silicon photocell. The light generated current is basically generated in the base region, and normally the phototransistor is reverse biased from collector to base and producing low leakage current. Now if the emitter injection is high, it will substantially increase collector current. Performance characteristics. Selection of the best detector for a given application involves many considerations. It's not only the understanding of the photo sensor, but also the environmental conditions, light source, sensor's performance characteristics, and cost, and variety of other aspects of it. The first comparison we have here is fatigue or hysteresis. Frequently, it's referred as a wear out of the device or light memory. For silicon devices, we can safely say that there are no such a problem. Such a problem does not exist. The selenium cells do exhibit fatigue, and the fatigue is dependent upon the light intensity levels, the temperature, the time it is exposed to the light. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide cells have hysteresis problem, and again, if one operates the device at moderate light levels, there is no problem. But if one goes beyond, let's say, 1,000 foot candles, one frequently experiences this problem. Photoemissive devices do have a cathode depletion problem. Next one is maximum operating temperatures. For silicon photocells, one can safely go up to 150 degrees C. Photodiodes also could go up to 150 degrees C. The probably normal operating point would be around 125 degrees C. Phototransistors, 125 degrees C. Photo-SCRs, 100 degrees C. Selenium cells, the normal maximum temperature for normal operations is about 85 degrees C. But one could go up to 100 degrees C too for short periods of time. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide cells, the upper limit is 75 degrees C. Photoemissive tubes should never be operated beyond 75 degrees C because they are losing sensitivity when they are exposed to higher temperature. The maximum voltages for silicon photocells for normal power applications, the open circuit voltage varies from 45 to 0.65 volts. The reverse bias, one should not expect much if it goes beyond 2 volts. Photodiode has a good reverse possibilities. It may go up to 100 volts. Phototransistor, the reverse, the voltage limit is about 50 volts. Photo-SCR, breakover voltage, up to 200 volts. Selenium cell open circuit voltage is approximately similar to that of silicon cell, and the same holds true for reverse voltage. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide cells go up to 1,000 volts, photoemissive tubes up to 2,800 volts at the anode. Current capability. Silicon photocells in power applications can go up to 1 amp. It is dependent upon the energy density, incident energy density, and it is approximately 1 watt per square centimeter. Beyond that, one should provide heat sinks or some cooling. Photodiodes go up to approximately 1 milliamp phototransistors, 1 to 50 milliamps photoSCRs, 1.4 amps, selenium cells up to 150 milliamps, cadmium sulfide, cadmium selenide, 10 milliamps to 1 amp, phototubes, photoemissive tubes up to 10 milliamps. Frequency capability. Frequency capability is dependent upon various factors. The junction capacitance of the cell, and also the load which is applied across the cell. For silicon cells, the frequency response may go up to 50 kilohertz. For photodiode and phototransistor, up to 200 kilohertz. PhotoSCR, 1 kilohertz. Selenium cell, 5 kilohertz. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide, 1 kilohertz. Photoemissive tubes, 10 megahertz. And high-gain photomultipliers go up to 100 megahertz. Switching speed. Here, the assumption is made that rise and fall times from 10% up to 90% are approximately the same. In real life, it is not really true unless the device is completely depleted. For silicon photocell, the rise and fall times are from 0.5 to 100 microseconds. Photodiode, it's a little bit conservative, 10 nanoseconds to 10 microseconds. Phototransistor, 2 to 100 microseconds. PhotoSCR, up to 2 microseconds. Selenium cell, 1 millisecond. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide, 0.2 to 100 milliseconds. Photoemissive tube, nominal value is approximately 100 nanoseconds. Here we see relative spectral responses as they are compared to standard observer. The selenium cell, which is over here, has a bandwidth from approximately 200 nanometers up to 900 nanometers, and is very efficient in visible range. With appropriate filter, it approximates standard observer vision. The silicon cell has a bandwidth from 350 nanometers up to approximately 1200 nanometers. The peaks may vary from 850 to 950 nanometers. Also, with appropriate filter and heat absorbing glass, at the loss of some sensitivity, it will approximate standard observer curve. The cadmium sulfide cell has a bandwidth from approximately 400 nanometers to approximately 900 nanometers. Due to the hysteresis effects, it has limited applications for some precision photometric work, but they are definitely used in photometric work too. The cadmium selenide, the bandwidth is from approximately 500 nanometers to 1,000 nanometers. The peak is at approximately 700 nanometers. The absolute spectral sensitivity at peak wavelengths. Here we have for photocell in general, the absolute sensitivity is from 0.3 to 0.65 amps per watt. Some space cells go beyond this. They may reach 0.7 amps per watt. Photodiode is in about the same range. Phototransistor is a function of beta times light emitted current, light generated current. Selenium cell is not available for cadmium, and cadmium selenide cell is not available. For a phototube at the cathode, it is 0.002 to 0.05 amps per watt. High gain photomultiplier, it's at anode, it goes up to 5 times 10 to 6 amps per watt. Peak detectivity is a measure of the minimum intensity of incident irradiance which will produce a signal level distinguishable from inherent noise of the device. For silicon cells, the D star is from 2.5 times 10 to 3 times 10 to 13 centimeters per watt at 900 nanometers. For photodiode, is about the same. For phototransistor, at this time, I did not have the information. Selenium cell, 1.2 times 10 to 11 at 550 nanometers. Cadmium sulfide, 3.5 times 10 to 14 at 500 nanometers. Cadmium selenide, 2.1 times 10 to 11 at 700 nanometers. Photoemissive tube, I did not have any information. Now, we're going to compare the physical size of the device and long-term stability. For silicon photocell, one could consider it as a medium size, and also, as far as long-term stability is concerned, it has a excellent characteristics. Photodiode, is the smallest or medium size. Phototransistor is small. PhotoSCR is small. Selenium cell is medium. Cadmium sulfide, cadmium selenide is medium. Photoemissive tube is large. Now, this long-term stability for photodiode is excellent. For phototransistor, one should may consider it as good. Also, for photoSCR, as good. Selenium cell, I am somewhat critical for the same reasons which were mentioned before. It's poor to good, but that depends upon the application. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide, poor to good. And for phototube, it's good. The silicon devices, here we're going to try to point out some advantages and also disadvantages as far as the device is concerned. Photovoltaic cell is most of the time used as power generating device. No bias required. Has a linear response at the short circuit current and good multi-segment matching properties. Photodiode is very fast, has also linear properties at short circuit current and also at some reverse bias voltages. Is good for multi-segment matching and has large voltage swing. Phototransistor is again, the collector current is approximately equal to H sub Fe times light generated current. The selenium cell has advantages in a visible, because of its sensitivity in a visible range, can be used as in a photovoltaic mode, exhibits fatigue, and is also linear. Its applications are in photometry, as a controlling device in a camera diaphragms and or diaphragm controls and relay drives. Cadmium sulfide and cadmium selenide, the advantages are low cost, again has sensitivity in visible range, has high resistance change from light to dark, it's bilateral, high voltage can be applied, and also is a high power device. The disadvantages: very slow response, exhibit hysteresis. The applications are for street lighting controls, camera exposure controls, counting and control, door openers, and so on. Photoemissive tubes, the advantages: extremely linear, extremely sensitive. It's a very good device for low light intensity application. Disadvantages: high cost, physically very large, special circuitry required, and also cathode depletion problem. And as final point for designers, I have experience in the past that frequently the electronic engineer designs the circuit for the sensor without any consideration for the characteristics of the sensor. One should be, before design goes on, one should make decision what light source one will use. If the decision is made, then one should consider the spectral response and sensitivity for that light source of that photosensor. Operating mode is very important. Electrical characteristics such as speed of response speed, linearity, stability, hysteresis, fatigue, current, voltage, and so on. Also, the mechanical characteristics are of great importance. One wants to select, in many instances, the smallest device, but for a given application, that may not be the correct way. Therefore, some compromise must be made. Then, environmental conditions. And as final is the cost. And here I'm going to end my presentation. Thank you very much.
How does the fatigue manifest itself in these devices?
The selenium cell, for example, is a barrier type of a device. And when it's exposed to extremely high intensity, I shouldn't say extremely, to higher intensities, it loses its sensitivity. And if you would turn off the light and would go back to it, you will not get the same output of the device. So basically what happens is that the sensitivity is lost.
Is that due to some form of electron depletion in the device or something?
I'm not sure what the real mechanism is of the device itself. The only thing I can say that when it is exposed to higher intensities, this characteristic is dominant.
The question here, I think, goes back to the materials. Cadmium selenide, cadmium sulfide are polycrystals in their use, generally, evaporated material, and you have internal barriers which you do not have in the silicon monocrystals or germanium monocrystals. And therefore, on these barriers, you have charge accumulation, and that is what accounts for the slow speed. You have to build those down a bit.
If you had a selenium photo material, and its limitations, I believe you said voltage were approximately 0.5 volts. If you would put two of them in series, would this increase your voltage range to 1 volt?
Yes.
In a linear fashion, if you decided to do 2 and 3 and 4, I would want to know what would be the limitations of doing something of this.
I don't see any limitation. You can put as many devices as it's feasible.
It seemed to me that you didn't distinguish clearly between photocells and photodiodes when you were talking about silicon. Mm-hmm. Can you clarify that?
Well, most of the time the photodiodes are used in photoconductive mode. They are biased because of the limitation of output as far as the photovoltaic mode is concerned. Most of the time photodiodes are of small area, and they are not really that distinction I am drawing and I have read in literatures many other people draw.
Were you making the distinction then on the basis of size?
Yes.
The whole thing boils down to one point. If you want to have power, you want to have large area device. The photodiode is used to control some other type of a circuit, and usually are of small size. If you're going to use large size, the parameters or the equivalent circuit components are going to lose their meaning. The capacitance will be large. It's almost impossible to use in some electronic circuits. Therefore, the large size device is a power device, and it's used mostly in photovoltaic mode.
I just wanted to get one brief comment in on this point. I think a lot of people get confused when simple semantic terms are used in various ways. And I think we have a photovoltaic mode of operation. And we can use a photodiode in a photovoltaic mode.
Yes.
Or we can use it in a power energy conversion mode. And we can build big ones and small ones and all kinds of things. But it's really a photodiode.
Yeah. Well, if I misled the gentleman, I apologize.
In referring to phototransistors, in your frequency response, you say that they can go to maybe 200 kilohertz. In my experience, due to their long decay, they're much slower than that. Could you expand on that?
Then what I mentioned, 2 to...
to 200 kilohertz, and I just wondered under what kind of operating conditions you might achieve that kind of speed.
You are talking now about frequency response.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, there are some phototransistors where some manufacturers are already publicizing that they can go up to 200 kilohertz, but basically my experience has been that I never seen one which would go beyond 100 kilohertz. So I just approximated this number because in the literature the number was available.
This slide tape lecture was an IEEE activity in continuing education for its members.